The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on July 29, 1995 in Ipoh, Malaysia. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 7, Verse 35.
Mainam partahasi jatu
Mainam partahasi jatu
Brahma bandhu vimam jahi
Brahma bandhu vimam jahi
Yosavanagasa suptan
Yosavanagasa suptan
Avadi nisibalakan
Avadi nisibalakan.
Lord Shri Krishna said, O Arjuna, you should not show mercy by releasing this relative of a Brahmana, Brahma Bandhu, for he has killed innocent boys in their sleep. Lord Shri Krishna said,
Lord Shri Krishna said,
O Arjuna,
O Arjuna,
you should not show mercy.
You should not show mercy
by releasing this relative of a Brahmana.
By releasing this relative of Brahmana.
Brahma Bandhu.
Brahma Bandhu.
For he has killed innocent boys.
For he has killed innocent boys.
In their sleep.
In their sleep.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Vaichan Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Yeah.
The word Brahma Bandhu is significant. A person who happens to take birth in the family of a Brahmana, but is not qualified to be called a Brahmana, is addressed as a relative of a Brahmana, and not as a Brahmana. The son of a high court judge is not virtually a high court judge, but there is no harm in addressing a high court judge's son as a relative of the Honorable Justice. Therefore, as by birth only one does not become a high court judge, so also one does not become a Brahmana simply by birthright, but by acquiring the necessary qualifications of a Brahmana. As the high court judgeship is a post for the qualified man, so also the post of a Brahmana is attainable by qualification only. The Shastra enjoins that even if good qualities are seen in a person born in a family other than that of a Brahmana, the qualified man has to be accepted as a Brahmana. And similarly, if a person born in the family of a Brahmana is devoid or void of Brahminical qualification, then he must be treated as a non-Brahmana, or in better terms, a relative of a Brahmana. Lord Shri Krishna, the supreme authority of all religious principles, the Vedas, has personally pointed out these differences, and he is about to explain the reason for this in the following slokas. Om Tat Sat. Thus ends the Prabhupada's translation purport to text 35 of the 7th chapter, 1st canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, in the matter of the son of Drona punished. So here is a very climatic situation, emotional situation. Arjuna had arrested Aswatthama after a big battle because Aswatthama had committed a very heinous act. He had killed the 5 sleeping sons of the Pandavas. Now he has taken back, he had bound up Aswatthama as a criminal and was taking him back to the camp so that he could be judged, he could be punished. Now Krishna is telling him, you don't release him, don't show mercy, this person is really guilty. Krishna in the relationship with Arjuna is something very special. Apart from the Bhagavad Gita, we have to remember that Krishna and Arjuna's relationship is of a friend. Two friends. Krishna and Arjuna are friends. As friends, Krishna would say things very heavy. But Arjuna would not accept everything, but would think about it. This is the difference between a friend and a guru. Your friend may tell you, you should do this. And you think, you know, is my friend talking to me? Should I do this or not? But if the guru tells you, you should do this, it means you should do it. Guru has spoken. So in the Kurukshetra battle, then Arjuna said, now I am accepting you as guru, not as a friend. Now you instruct me what to do. So then Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and then he took those instructions. And here, although Krishna is speaking very heavy, kill him now! Arjuna didn't kill him. He's taking Ashwatthama back to the camp. Of course, his star also released him. He's not disobeying Krishna, but we have to understand these instructions within the relationship between Arjuna and Krishna. That when Krishna is going to tell him in the next verse, you just get him now, don't even wait. But Arjuna took him back to the camp, to Yudhisthira. Arjuna was very religious, and he acted very considerately with his elder brother Yudhisthira, who was the emperor. So, in many occasions, he would defer final decisions on things to his brother. This is the ideal situation where even though there's a teamwork, all the Pandavas worked as a team, but they accepted Yudhisthira as the leader. In our temple situations, although everyone is God brothers and God sisters, but we sometimes, at least in today, it was like that during the time of Prabhupada. We were all God brothers and God sisters, but then Prabhupada made somebody a temple president. Then, immediately after Srila Prabhupada left the world, there were many Prabhupada disciples and the new devotees coming. They didn't have any positions, so it was very natural that Prabhupada disciples were the president. Now in the world, I think there's probably less temple presidents who are Prabhupada disciples than there are grand disciples of Prabhupada. Now what happens when you have a president who's the godbrother, then other godbrother, they may think, well, why is he president? Why should I listen to him? Because they're trained in following a god uncle. But we can see from the example of the Pandavas how this is quite natural. If someone is appointed to manage, actually what he's doing is serving. Management is another form of serving in Krishna consciousness. In Sanskrit, many times they call a temple president as a mandir rakshak, temple protector. He has to protect the deities, the properties, and the devotees who are in the temple. So that is the actual meaning of a kshatriya also. Not that temple managers are kshatriyas, but a kshatriya actually means one who protects. I recently read there's a whole discussion on this topic, and it was brought out how even traditionally in temples, brahmanas are always in charge of temples and monasteries. But they had to manage their own monastic affairs. in their own way. And sometimes people come from the business world. There was Radha Ramakrishna Das. He was managing 5 factories with thousands of employees in South India. He went to Vrindavan, and for about a week he was the temple president. He said, "Oh, this is too much. I can't do this." He could manage thousands of people in the factory, but not hundreds of devotees, not 100 or 60. Then there are only 50 devotees. Because brahmanas in the temple, they don't work exactly the way that people work in the factory. The different motivations are different, the different way that they act are different. In the factory, you say, if you don't work, you get fired, or I won't give you a raise, or something. It's like fear. It's like a basic principle. On one hand, another hand is praise. And devotees, they work for very many subtle reasons. And there's so many factors that inspire devotees. And that may vary even from culture to culture. So, especially in India, where it's a melting pot for Krishna consciousness in our big temples. In America, it used to be called a melting pot, but now Mayapur and Vrindavan are like melting pot. We had devotees from all over the world, not only Indian devotees, but we had devotees from America, and from Australia, and from Europe, and from Africa, and from Asia. So all kinds of devotees with all kinds of personalities and cultural backgrounds. So it's very complicated how to get everyone to work cooperatively together. Srila Prabhupada, he wanted us to show how we can work together cooperatively. In some other places, like in Oroville, they don't unite all the countries. They have a camp for the British, a camp for the Russian, a camp for the French and the German. They keep them all divided by nation. But in Mayapur, Vrindavan, we don't divide by any material distinction. Everybody comes together and works together. So Prabhupada called this as a United Nations of the spiritual world, uniting all the nations and all the cultures. But one has to be sensitive. So, in order for the whole situation to work, the leader has to, on one hand, be sensitive, and on the other hand, the devotees have to be cooperative. Leader cannot be dictatorial. At the same time, the devotees cannot be totally within discipline, not following any discipline. Things had to go on in a loving way. At the same time, we had to follow. So this was automatically there in Arjuna and the Pandavas. They just automatically followed Yudhisthira. Vishabdev, when he told his 100 sons the final lessons before he renounced the world, he requested that they follow their elder brother Bharata. Bharat Maharaj, he became after that the next emperor. Somehow, this has been working in the previous ages. Although we see that in some cultures, like just recently in Qatar, the son did a coup d'etat against his father. Father was visiting some other country and he took over the country and said, "No, I'm the king." My father now is in exile in France. He can't come back. This seems to be a tradition in some cultures, some countries. His father had also taken over from his father in the same way. So it's kind of like a karma going on. Although the basic government management doesn't really change much, but that's the succession has been going on like that. In Krishna consciousness, Of course, we don't want that kind of situation. Everything is done in a very cooperative way with the leaders. And that's why there's leaders and governing body commission and so on. National chairman, like Maharaj is our national chairman, to keep us on our toes. And this, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to cooperate together. But just like Krishna was giving advice to Arjuna, those who are in a responsible position, they also had to give proper advice. Krishna said that the guru and the teachers and the parents and the managers and the rulers, they had to give lessons to their children, their disciples, their followers, their citizens, their students, according to his version. So long as we give the instruction according to Krishna's version, then we won't go wrong. Of course, sometimes situations are so complicated. It's very hard to balance the different advices in the Shastra. Now here is a very critical situation. On one hand, a brahmana should never be killed. On another hand, this brahmana is a murderer. He's an assassin. He's a child murderer. He has done the most heinous, sinful and criminal act. So, someone who does such things should be killed. How to balance the two? He's a brahmana, not only an ordinary brahmana, but he's the son of Arjuna's own teacher. Arjuna learned the military science from Dronacharya. And although Aswatthama is very, well, what to say, behaved, or he's like a deviant person at the present time. Somehow he is very dear to Dronacharya. Actually, his father loves his son. Kripi, the wife of Dronacharya, I believe is Kripi, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, the mother of Dronacharya, Aswatthama, also she is very much attached to her son. She doesn't want to see her son killed. So this the situation, creepy. And how the different Pandavas act, how Krishna acts, Krishna puts us in test. He's really putting Arjuna to the test. What's he going to do? But this is something very important. We'll all be put to different trying situations. And at that time, if we can really use our intelligence and remember what did the Guru say, what does the scripture say, what should we do under this circumstance? And if we don't really know, also asking senior people who may know. Arjuna, he was faced with this Krishna saying killing. He went back and then Draupadi, she said that, oh, this is the son of our Guru, he taught you military science. I don't want to see him killed because it will cause Dronacharya and Kripi to also suffer. I'm already suffering the loss of my son. I don't want to see them lost. So she was moved as a mother. But she was such a saintly person. She's such a great devotee that she didn't hold envy in her heart. Seeing Aswatthama, she didn't call for vengeance. She wasn't in the mode of ignorance or even passion. She was so much in the mode of goodness. And she's saying, just have mercy. But then like Krishna's saying, but no, that is also not good to be just only merciful. This person may go on doing bad things. So then Arjuna was really put to the test and he heard from the different people. Then Yudhisthira, he took the side of Draupadi, yes, it's true, we should be a little merciful to him. So he had to really deal with the whole situation, what to do. What did he do then? He really thought, he meditated on Krishna in his heart. To know really what Krishna wanted. Here's a very critic. Krishna's in front of him telling one thing, but he's in his heart, he's meditating on Krishna. What does Krishna really want me to do in this situation? Of course, that's very different, confusing, you know. Krishna is saying one thing, but in your heart you think Krishna wants you to do something else. Krishna's leelas are like that. Krishna told all the gopis, go back home, go back home. What are you doing here in the night time? Young girls like you shouldn't come out at night, you should go back home. So he was rejecting them, but actually Krishna was just testing them to see how determined they were to serve him. So directly when we're in Krishna's pastimes, it's very different. And when we're reading the instructions of Krishna in the Shastra, it's different. In Krishna's pastimes, he's acting according to relations. Friend, father, son. It's a bit very complicated. Krishna is not always acting as a guru. He may be acting in various ways, but he's also teaching. You have to see the overall Leela, though, to get the understanding. Not just one verse. If you see the whole Leela, then you can understand what Krishna was actually doing. At least something you can understand. See, here Krishna, by doing this one activity, he's doing many things. He's first showing whatever Krishna says is correct. But how to apply that may be different. So the whole situation, Krishna is saying, he's explaining what is a brahmana, what is an unqualified friend of a brahmana. What are the duties? Whatever Krishna said is correct. But how to apply all this? So finally, of course, Arjuna, he gave a very unique kind of punishment to Ashwatthama, which was as good as death, at the same time, but didn't kill him. In other words, he really depended on Krishna and got the higher intelligence how to do something very creative. In all of your own devotional service, you have to also depend on Krishna in this way. You're equipped with the Guru's instructions, the scriptural instructions. Then learning also how to depend on Krishna in the heart, how to apply those instructions in the best way. It's important to have enough of the instructions of the Guru. If one doesn't have any instructions, if one doesn't hear the Guru's classes, if one doesn't hear the devotee's classes, if one doesn't read the scripture, then the fund of knowledge will be less. So there will be less opportunity to know what to do. We should be always building up our spiritual knowledge. Then when we're in difficulty, this information will help us. We may hear something, we put it back in the filing cabinet of our brain. Later, when we really need it, Krishna's mercy is that when we think of Krishna, Krishna, what should I do now? Then he makes us remember. He gives a jnanam apohanam cha, smriti jnanam apohanam cha. He gives memory, he gives knowledge, and he also gives forgetfulness. So at that time we can remember. So this is one of the gifts of the devotees, to actually act also as an instrument in Krishna's hands when you're doing preaching. We don't want to give our own ideas. We want to just think how to represent Krishna's ideas and give those ideas, Lord Chaitanya's Guru's teachings, to this person. And let Krishna act in the heart. We even pray to the Super Soul in the heart of that individual, please awaken this person so they can understand your message. And in this way, Krishna does open the doors in the heart by the mercy of the devotees, and people can take up Krishna consciousness. So we thank all of you for spreading this Krishna conscious movement, and may you all be able to get the mercy of Krishna like Arjuna did and understand exactly under different circumstances how to preach. Everything cannot be said, but under this and that circumstance you should do exactly this. There'll be so many circumstances which we would never be able to tell you. How can we imagine all the possible circumstances? That's why that funny story about the disciples said to the guru, write everything down. If anything falls, is what I should pick up, you know, that funny story. And the guru wrote down everything, my cloth, my pen, and he said, and the guru fell down. He wasn't on the list, right? So the disciple left the guru and took all the cloth and everything and put on the... You see, that's why devotional service is not like in the other paths. Other paths, the smart tires, everything, all the rules and regulations are there. In devotional service, there's always, you have to really use intelligence. You're given principles, and then how to apply that under the different circumstances is something that one has to use that intelligence for. And later on, even we find that many times devotees, sometimes even different leading devotees, they come and say, "What under this circumstance I did this, what do you think? Was that the right thing? Or did that, you have any other?" Sometimes they just, you know, if they don't, not sure if they did the best thing or there might be something better, they even discuss it. But we have to do the best we can under circumstances. And that's why in devotional service it's more important to know the Shastra, because this scripture is giving us these practical examples, how Arjuna dealt with this problem. Same way we may have to deal with different kinds of problems. We will have to deal with them, and we have to know then practically, the more spiritual knowledge we have, we'll be able to take the right decision. Whether it's making that decision ourselves, or whether it's discussing with a guru, or discussing with whoever is available at that time, whatever decision, we should know exactly what the different alternatives are as best as possible, and then make them. We depend on Krishna. Like, Krishna, please help me that I make the right decision now. So Lord Krishna in Gita, he said the fact that Arjuna was considering what is right, what is wrong, what was the best thing to do, that was the sign of a devotee. That's how a devotee thinks. And in the material world, materialist or someone who's a more demonic nature, you don't think like, you just think this is what I want and this is what I'm going to do, and they just do it. They don't think whether it's right or wrong or whether it's pleasing to God. They just do it. They really tend to be a bit impulsive and act according to the material impulses. So there is this difference in the devotees, that they do act according to Sadhu, Shastra and Guru and not just according to material impulse. So we can take strength from all of these lessons. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. How many questions, Maharaj, should I take? How many comments?
The Sadam offered already. Ready? Yes, time in giving schedule, but it's not up to the schedule. 10 o'clock is supposed to be.
Maharaj is giving the sauce.
You know, Prabhupada said his movement was growing because of his intelligence. And he kept his movement growing.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes also when he came to see him in Mayapur, he would just be holding his head and he said, you don't know what it is to run a worldwide spiritual movement. You don't know what it is. Actually, he was taking all of the headaches himself. He was managing all of the problems. And gradually he wanted the devotees to relieve him of the headaches and take up some of the responsibilities. So he made the governing body commission and president. It was very difficult because Prabhupada had such a clear intelligence and spiritual vision. We can never compare anything with the vision he had. And sometimes situations happen which are really overwhelming and bewildering. Much should be done at this time, and it requires a lot of discussion and considering, and finally to come. But Prabhupada, he could come to the solution right away. He knew exactly what to do under all the circumstances. But some situations in the worldwide body happen which really require the collective intelligence of so many leaders together, which is what the governing body is. And that they're actually not just trying to think their own idea, but they're trying to think also what did Prabhupada, I mean really they were trying to think what did Prabhupada, what would he want under these circumstances. And so many people are trying to think what Prabhupada wanted, and they have got some experience. Then it's quite likely that they'll come up with the right idea. Prabhupada said that he had the faith that they would come up with that idea. And so many 20, 30 devotees together were all trying to serve him. On our, we have a chairman is Malaysia's Maharaj, and the general secretary is Singheshwar Das. So the local presidents and branch leaders, if they have some difficulty, they can speak to the elder devotees and get some idea to know what to do under those circumstances. And now even GDC is available by electronic mail. Sometimes, not always, sometimes we can also give advice. Prabhupada would usually deal by the letters. So you had to take his advice after about a month or a few weeks. Very rarely he dealt with the form. He didn't like the form so much. He preferred to give letters. So we have so many letters also to see how Prabhupada dealt. That's his mercy on us. If he had done by form, he wouldn't have known. All right, Maharaj, any questions? Any more comments by Maharaj?
I mean, we had some problems in Vrindavan, especially between Indians and the Hindus. We all went to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, you know, he has been, you know, but pain is gone and nobody goes on my nation.
With a person become a devotee.
A person.
The person become a devotee.
Yeah.
Then we become the church become devotee.
Then what happens?
And then we think he's a devotee. That means we think he is a good person, good quality, this and that. But if we become devotee also, still the quality is not there. You know, how can the person be the not quality is there? How can they become already become a devotee? But there's number of qualities.
In our general talk, we say someone joins a temple, he becomes a devotee. And this has created some confusion also, because then we think if you're a temple devotee, then you're a devotee. And then sometimes even people living in a temple think, I'm a devotee, but people outside the temple, they're not devotees. And in the congregational preaching, we come to the understanding that this is a big problem. That we somehow need to now change our terminology somewhat, because although maybe we haven't fully figured it out, but like in Lord Chaitanya's time, there were no temple devotees. There were no temples. He never made one temple. Everybody was devotee who took up Krishna consciousness as their life and soul. And people who wanted to take up Krishna consciousness, they were all considered as aspiring devotees. Actually, we're all, you can say the different degrees, some people may be devotees, and many people may be aspiring devotees. That means that they're devotees, but they're not yet mature, pure devotees. Prabhupada said it's like a mango. Sometimes we get the mangoes here in Malaysia, which are the green mango. They're not fully ripe, a bit sour. And sometimes you get a mango which is half and half. Half unripe and half ripe. Maybe they picked it green and a little bit ripening. So sweet is there, but some sour is there also. And then sometimes you get, Maharaj I want good ripe mango. It gets very ripe, very sweet, like honey, sweeter than honey mango. This you can also get. So devotees are like that. Not everybody is ripe. Some is half ripe, some is still green. But if somebody thinks that now I become mango, I'm ripe mango, doesn't mean there may be green mango also that's coming. If you leave it in the tree long enough, like Maharaj said, you be in the Krishna conscious association, you'll become ripe. So now we have to see our definition of our Krishna conscious a little broader. For the brahmacharis and some devotees, they are living in the communities, in the temple. Others are living in the community, they're living as far as in their homes, and they have also to make their home Krishna conscious, and they have to associate with the temple and take that with the other devotees, and we be part of the Krishna conscious movement. They need that association. Even though they don't live in the temple, they need the association. So somebody takes up Krishna consciousness, or even they get initiated, it doesn't mean that they're already ripe mango. Even initiation, we discussed yesterday how it means a new birth, spiritual birth. So nobody can say that just after being born they know everything, or that they're already fully ripened. It means they're just growing now. Of course, those who are taking the brahmanical initiation, we would hope that they should be at least, you know, half and half. Half ripe and half sour. And those who are very senior, they should be mainly ripened, we would hope. But sometimes Maya is very strong, and someone even very ripe can also go rotten. If they commit offenses or they get bad association, they say one bad apple in the basket makes all the basket rotten. So even a good person, if they have really bad association, can go the other way. So that's why we have to be careful in devotional service to protect our creeper. And then we have to be able to recognize whether what level other devotees are in their ripening process. Or even someone might have been ripened but might have gone rotten. It's very hard to bring rotten back. Although it can be done, but that requires some very special devotees to do that. Ripening is a fairly natural process. You can ripen the new people up. Once that they're already ripened and they became rotten, then it's more complicated. That also Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that when a person gets off the track, to bring them back on it requires a special technique, special loving and forceful, different kind of special care. But some devotees who have that ability there to be specially recognized. And everybody can do that. So we have to be a little, you know, if we just say, okay, he's devotee, she's devotee, why are you acting like that? We have to differentiate. There are different levels of devotee. There's a neophyte, Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttam. Like, not everyone the same. And so different kinds of devotees and level, they'll act in a different way. If somebody is acting out of their level, then we could think, oh, this is something unusual. And we could try to... Otherwise, we expect younger devotees are going to make more mistakes. If we think soon as someone's a devotee, they're not going to act in Maya. There's too much to expect. But when they act in Maya, we should preach to them so that they know it, that they're in Maya. Get back on the track. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.